Thank you, family. Thank you. Always an honor to be in the house of God, isn't it? It's incredible to be with one another. We had an incredible time last week in the presence of God, just worship extended and praying over one another. The prophetic word of the Lord came forth. Vicky was prophesying over folks. I always have this vivid, humorous memory burned into my brain of when Vicky might have been carrying the recorder for prophetic words, because we record the prophetic words and then we like to make sure you get them so you can contend for them, right? And stand on them. And I remember Apostle Clay one time just started giving prophetic, he just gave a prophetic word out of the blue, and then he said, "Come on, Vicky, it's on me." She followed him with the recorder. And it felt like that last week. It was like, it's on me. It was on Vicky, and there was a blessing in the house. And Dan got up to give his message and basically just asked a handful of questions. He says, why do we gather on Sundays? To equip the saints, to glorify God, to be aligned, to come together corporately. And all these answers came forth, and Dan took a step back and said, well, I think we done did all those things already today. So let's get on out of here. And it was a special time. We don't like to just flow with the Spirit of the Lord. And so I'd like to do that today as well and talk to you about generosity. We haven't taken up the offering yet because Dan just kind of leaned over to me in worship and said, maybe we'll take up the offering after the message on generosity. And so I think we'll do that. I think we'll hold off until the end and ask the Lord to prepare our hearts to go to new levels of generosity. Now, don't be fooled. You can't tithe any more than you tithe already. And by that, I mean the tithe is 10%. It's not 8% is your tithe. That ain't no tithe, okay? Tithe is 10%. We teach that in the house. And anything over 10% is offering. It's a memorial offering. It's first fruits. It's seed, right? And so let's not be fooled. We're not trying to get more money from you. We're just trying to get revelation from the Father for prosperity in our lives. Someone say amen. Amen. Let's ask the Lord to open our eyes, open our hearts. We can't go any further with blockage or with insincerity or not ill-preparedness, right? So, Lord, open our eyes. Open our hearts. Open the eyes of our heart, Lord, as the song goes. Open the eyes of our heart. We want to see you. Open our ears, Lord, as the song goes that I love. Help us to listen. This is my prayer. This morning has become a prayer of my life. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. You know it. To reach out and touch him and say that I love him. Open my ears, Lord, and help me to listen. Open my eyes. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. Yeah, Lord, we want to see Jesus, the revelation of Jesus. It says in your word, may we have a spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of Jesus. Lord, as we read your word and it convicts us and it challenges us, may it bring wisdom and revelation for the knowledge of Jesus in our lives, that we might be more transformed, conformed and formed to the image of Jesus. And we all agree and say, amen. Amen. I want to share a couple testimonies before I get in. I feel that there's so much going on right now in the body of Christ among us, and some testimonies, the journey's happening. Actually, Miss Pamela is doing an RTF class in October, right here in the Children's Church room. It'll be on Saturday mornings for 4 weeks. And so if you'd like to be a part of that, you can email office at the City Gate. We've got some, if you guys want to know of all the happenings that are going on, do one really important thing. Email office at thecitygate.org and get on our email list, or go to thecitygate.org and sign up for our emails. Because there's so much going on. Intercessory prayer is great to be a part of. Weekly healing rooms happens, and there's these RTF classes, and which is restoring the foundations, and it's incredible healing and deliverance and restoration ministry that we do here at City Gate. And there's so many great things happening, and I want to recap a testimony that we shared last week. But the reason I want to recap it with you is because I've been really dwelling and abiding in this place of understanding three main things that help us become overcomers and help us triumph gloriously in our lives. The number one, and you guys know me, so it's going to be worship, okay? So worship helps us triumph. The other is honor, honoring one another and honoring our leadership. And the last one is, I wrote it down here, what I'm talking about today, generosity. When we have worship, honor, and generosity as priority in our lives as believers, things go to a new level. We go to a new level in God. And there is breakthrough in our worship. We just talked about it this morning. There's so much breakthrough that can happen in the place of worship. I was just talking to my dad yesterday, Natalie's dad, Leon, and he was saying he was so sick the last couple days, so sick. Like, he felt like he was going to die. He said he was so deathly ill. He was having a hard time catching his breath he was just going through a hard time. He's had suffered from long COVID since he had COVID a couple years ago, and he deals with some herniated stuff where he has acid reflux, and just he'll go through. He usually does pretty well with his diet and kind of keeps up and kind of keeps it at bay, but he went through this bout this weekend that was really, really terrible, and he just felt like, oh, I don't even know if I'm going to make it. Like, this is so bad. And he was talking to Natalie and I last night, and he said that at one point he got on his knees and he just began to worship the Lord. And the only words he could get out, I can't even remember what they were, but still I will worship you. Still I will praise you. And from that moment on, he started to experience the healing power of God in his body. And he's doing much better. And he wrote us this morning and said, I'm doing so incredibly better. And it's because of worship. And it's also because of testimony. Because we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and what? The word of our testimony. So when you tell of what God is doing in your life, you're becoming even more of an overcomer. And when you worship in the midst of it, God's breakthrough comes in your life. Worship gives us the breakthrough. It really does. It transforms us and it conforms us to be more like Jesus. So the last week testimony that we shared that I want to reshare is that Josh, who led with the team this morning, Josh Mojica, was over in the fellowship hall on the other side of the building. We were moving a bunch of equipment on the same night that the healing rooms was happening just across the hall. And at one point, Josh sort of stood up and looked like he was about to pass out. And I ran over to him and we were like, Josh, are you okay? It was me and a couple of guys were moving equipment. And he looked like he was going to pass out, just kind of like dazing off into the sky. But what had happened was there was a shofar blast from Ira and the team in the healing room that was happening while I was running over to him while he was like looking like he was going to pass out. And then I kind of got next to him and he said, I just got feeling back in my hand. I haven't had feeling in 3 weeks. and the Lord just healed me, and I just felt this electricity go through my body at the sound of the shofar, y'all. Listen, if Peter's shadow can be cast onto somebody and God can heal someone, at the very sound of the shofar of worship, healing can come into our bodies, and it has. Even now, we weren't even in the healing room getting prayed for. We were just in proximity. Some of us need to realize it's just about being in proximity. Some of us need to realize that it's just about being in the same place where the anointing of God is flowing for healing. Some of us need to realize that proximity is just about relationship and coming into alignment with those that God's bringing us into alignment with. And when you're in that proximity, God's purpose and healing and power will come on your life. And open doors will come, healing will come, restoration will come in your life, and you'll go to new levels. Can somebody shout amen with me this morning? You know, last testimony I want to say before we get into this, but Jody and Jada Blizzard, who have moved up to Omaha, Arkansas, to be up at the Ark property with Clay and Susan, they had a grandbaby born that was in pretty critical condition. And a prayer call went out right away, a prayer text went out right away to the whole church here, so many of you know. And within hours, the report came back. Oh, it's moved from critical to just cautious now. We're just monitoring him. And it's because of the power of prayer. It's because of proximity. It's because of relationship. It's because of community. It's because of alignment. And so I just here to tell you as a prelude to talking about generosity today, that in the place of worship, in the place of honor, and in the place of generosity, those three things being a priority in our lives, breakthrough starts popping off in our lives. And you begin to experience the restoration that God's been leading you to because of honor for leadership in your life, because of honoring one another. It says in 1 Peter, I think it is, outdo one another with honor. Honor one another. Outdo one another. Let's see how much we can outdo each other by honoring each other and loving on each other. Let's find out how much we can do to outdo one another with generosity and benevolence and intercession and prayer. Amen? So that's what a little bit of today is about. We have Shareholder Sunday coming up in a few weeks. I think, let's see, we had it on, it was going to be on the 1st. Now we're moving it to the 8th, but Dan and Vicky are so busy doing stuff that we were thinking about bumping it again, but I'm gone out of the country the 22nd and the 29th, so we're tentatively still going to say it's the 8th. We hate to keep bumping it for you guys, but there's just so much going on in the kingdom. We're all trying to keep our head above water and make things happen, but leading up to Shareholder Sunday, and you may say, what's Shareholder Sunday? Well, we don't have membership here at the City Gate. We have shareholders, because you can have a membership somewhere and not ever go or participate in that membership. Is anyone with me? You might have a subscription to a streaming service that you never use. I thought about it the other day. I pay for a video streaming subscription that I have a membership to, and I thought to myself, I'm not putting a demand on this membership. I better look up something and try to watch something or cancel my membership. And in the same way, you can have a membership to a gym and not ever go there. Doesn't mean anything really, right? But what we do here is we call our members shareholders, because when you're a shareholder, you believe in the vision and you're actually invested, that's the key word, right? So we have shareholders here. And so we're going to have a Shareholder Sunday where if over the last year or two, you've wanted to become a part of the house, or guess what? You already are a part of the house, then it's just an official time for us to say, we bless you, we love you, welcome. Here, let's put it on display. You guys are officially shareholders. And well, not officially, you really officially already are if you participate in aspects of intercessory prayer and our teams, and you come to events and you serve and support. It's all about being a part of what God's doing in the house. Amen? So leading up to Shareholder Sunday, we want to talk about some values of the house, talk about the prophetic, talk about the apostolic. And today I want to talk about generosity, because we are a generous house. And I want to commend you, so you should give yourself a hand because of the generosity that you carry in this house. But for those of you that maybe are newer over the last few weeks or months, I want to kind of dig up a message that I brought a couple years ago. It was about 2 years ago. It was a message on living out of the goodness of God, and there was a part of it that talked about generosity. And do as you may, you cannot. One of the aspects of that message was I said something along the lines of, you can't get away from the goodness of God. It's all around us. You can choose to live out of the goodness of God, or you can choose to live on your own, but God's goodness will still always be running after you, will be chasing you. His purposes will be after you. But you can also choose to live out of that wellspring of God's goodness. And a part of living out of the goodness of God is living in constant generosity, in desiring to be benevolent towards one another, to give towards God, because he first loved us, because he first gave to us. A part of God is giving. Actually, it's not even a part of God. It's like God himself is benevolence and generosity. And if we're going to be like him, then we've got to be generous as well. Is someone with me? Okay, I need y'all to get on my level here, because we've got to let the scriptures, the truth of God, challenge us. So Apostle Clay teaches that the voice of God will silence the voice of the enemy, and then what is it? And nullify the voice of the flesh, so neutralize the voice of the flesh. But a lot of times we're much too addicted to ourselves and the way we want to do things to really bend our ear to the voice of God. So the voice of God silences the enemy and neutralizes the feelings of our flesh. So how do we get the voice of God in our life? You can start with how he speaks to us through scripture. You can memorize scripture. You want to know how God talks? He talks in his word. When you memorize scripture and know the rhythms and the beauty of how he communicates to us, he will begin, his voice will come alive in your life on the daily as you learn how he talks. And you want to know how he talks? He talks like this. Generosity brings prosperity, but withholding from charity brings poverty. Those who live to bless others will have blessings heaped upon them, and the one who pours out his life to pour out blessings will be saturated with favor. That's how the voice of God sounds right there. Generosity, because God is first. He's literally generosity. He is love. He's benevolence. And if we're going to be like him, we've got to be a people who are generous. God cares about your generosity. And if we hear that generosity word, we need to be more generous, and it kind of grinds against you, then I want to encourage you to press into that. How is the word of God convicting or challenging your heart? Because this is what it literally says. A generous person will prosper. There's a blessing in your generosity. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. That's Proverbs 11 and 25. 2 Corinthians 9 and 7, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Yeah? The root word of that actually boils, you can boil it all the way down to God loves a spontaneous giver. Whoa, I just spontaneously feel like I should give into this. God loves that. God loves that that aha moment of yours. Oh, that's it. Trust that. But the problem with the aha moment is the waiting. I said the problem with the aha moment is the step back and the waiting. Because we'll reason ourselves out of God's blessing for our life when we go, oh, I really want to, well, I don't know if I, doesn't make sense to. And then all of a sudden you've missed out on how God wanted to bless someone else and how God wanted to bless you. Don't let your aha moment be snuffed out like a wet blanket by your own reason and your own logic. That aha moment, God loves it. God's like, that's the cheerful, that's the spontaneous giver that I'm looking for. God loves a spontaneous giver. 2 Corinthians 9 and 11, a couple verses later, says, You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. God will bless you so that you can be a blessing in every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Man, there is something about generosity that does something on a molecular level in our bodies, and I'll talk about it here in a few minutes. But those that are generous live longer. Those that are generous have more endorphins, happy feelings released in their brain when you live out of a place of generosity. Somebody say generosity. Luke 6, verse 38 says, "Give, and it will be given to you in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over." That's it. "It will be poured onto your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." So I'm going to stop with the scriptures now, because there are literally 2,172 reasons to be generous, because that's how many times the Bible speaks about generosity. I said there's over 2,000 reasons for me to talk to you today about generosity, because that's how many times the Bible talks about possessions, generosity, giving, gifts, etc. So there was a study from Dr. Tom Davis. He noted that love is mentioned 714 times in the Bible. How many of y'all know that biblically and in Christian lifestyle, it's important to talk about love, to teach about love, and to live love? Well, in this study, this doctor observed, you know, he's probably an MDiv kind of guy, a doctorate of theology. It showed that love is mentioned 714 times in the Bible, yet giving or possessions is mentioned 2,172 times in the Bible. So naturally, Dr. Davis continues, "My curiosity led me to the most commonly used words in the Bible." According to the King James, the word "and," right, to tie a sentence together, is used over 25,000 times in the Bible. The word "or" is used over 20,000 times in the Bible. The word "unto" is used almost 10,000 times. And then there's other words like "for" and "the" and "shall" and "they" and etc. But according to his calculations, love would be about 160th most used word, and possessions would be in the top 50. Interesting, isn't it? So the Bible, maybe more than any other word, more than love, speaks about possessions, giving, generosity, probably because generosity is tied to who God is. Just like love is tied to who God is, generosity is tied to who God is. Someone write that down. Generosity is who God is. And if I'm going to be like God, conform to the image of Christ, I've got to be generous. So what does science say then? I read this article, "The Science of Generosity," and I want to revisit this quickly. Research suggests that humans are born with the biological hardware required for generosity. In particular, we have brain cells and hormonal systems in place at the ready that help us help others. This is like a Harvard article here, okay? Lord help me. We're wired to be at the ready to help others, and it makes us feel good while we're doing so. There is growing evidence that the human brain is wired for generosity. Several studies have found evidence that when people help others, their brains show activity in fundamental neural circuits, such as those that underline paternal caregiving. So we are wired to help people, and hormones are released in the brain to help us. And you know what? Listen, I have this message on the shout that you guys know about. But when you shout, there are hormones released in the brain, feel-good hormones, endorphins, that help us to combat things like stress, anxiety, and the pressure and all those things that whenever you're in a tense situation and your natural response is to shout or to respond, that releases endorphins in your brain that balance you out on a neurological level. And in the same way, generosity helps release those endorphins too, to combat and help balance the brain. Is everyone with me so far? Yeah? So a number of studies have looked at how different forms of generosity may impact a person's physical health and longevity. A study that analyzed data from a nationally representative sample of 1,200 Americans over the age of 65, everyone pay attention to this, this is extremely interesting, found that volunteering was associated with delayed death. So when it comes to generosity and health, it really may be better to give than receive. A study of patients with end-stage disease found that those who gave more social support, be it through social interaction, material aid, advertising, or emotional support, or giving to charity, to friends and family, were significantly less likely to die over a 12-month period, whereas those who just simply received social support were no more or less likely to die. That fascinates me. It shows me that in that study, that the more generous and emotionally supportive and socially supportive and benevolent you are, it actually extends your life. Think about this. In the midst of disease, your generosity can extend your life. Can somebody get excited about generosity? That the seed you now mix this. This is psychology. This is science, okay? Now mix this with the spiritual power of sowing a first fruits. The spiritual power of sowing seed into the kingdom of God. That when you do it in faith, God hears your faith and responds by bringing a breakthrough into our life. This is why the scriptures say that generosity makes you prosperous. And that when you withhold, you'll be in lack. So just like thanksgiving helps to combat negativity in your life, generosity combats lack in your life. So it doesn't make sense on the outside, but God literally wired us on a neurological level and on a spiritual level in faith for us to overcome and live in prosperity based on our generosity. Not based on what someone gives us, but what we give someone else. Isn't this phenomenal? This is a value of the house at CityGate, generosity. And you, I'm proud to say, and always honored to say that you are a generous people. I have to dig up the statistics. Apostle Clay does it every year or so, where he says a certain percentage of the church tithes, and it's always really low. And I think he says something like, yeah, the church as a whole, from George Barna research, shows that maybe it's like, yeah, it's like 7 or 10% or 5 or 10% of the church as a whole are tithing 10%. But here at CityGate, it's something like 100%. Because CityGate shareholders, you think it's 90%. So this is what Clay says. He says 90%. This is kind of, I don't know what the reports are recently. We should look into it. But he says 90% of CityGate shareholders are 10% tithers and givers. Now, he always follows by saying this. What could we do? What would our voice say to the enemy if 100% of CityGate shareholders were tithers and givers in this house? What kind of stand would that make in this region, for this house, for you as a corporate people, that 100% of shareholders were tithers and givers? That would speak volumes to the enemy. It would be the equivalent of the shout of the people of God putting out the enemy and his strategy against your life. We've got to be a people of generosity. Somebody say generosity. I am at the end of my notes. Somebody say amen. I think I'd like to read a couple more scriptures just to stir you up. Glorify God with all your wealth, honoring him with your first fruits, with every increase that comes to you. Then every dimension of your life will overflow with blessings from an uncontainable source of inner joy. The wisdom of God says that when you give, that joy bubbles out of you. Actually, science says that too, that there is healing property in your generosity that will extend your life even in the face of stage 4 cancer or end of life situations, that your generosity causes something on the inside of you to change you molecularly, that your life will be extended and the joy of the Lord be upon you through generosity. That's what the word of the Lord says. Wealth that you get by dishonesty will do you no good, but honesty can save your life. Being lazy will make you poor, but hard work will make you rich. Is the Bible telling me to work hard? What? Work hard? What? Generosity brings prosperity. I already shared that one. But withholding from charity brings poverty. Those who live to bless others will have blessings heaped upon them. I read that one. Every time you give to the poor, you make a loan to the Lord. Don't worry. You'll be repaid in full for all the good you've done. That's a good one right there, Proverbs 19 and 17. It pleases God more when we demonstrate godliness and justice than when we offer him a sacrifice. Now, why would I share that one? It pleases God more when you demonstrate godliness and justice than when you give a sacrifice. Because you can give a sacrifice or give an offering to the Lord, and if it has wrong motives in it, then God doesn't receive it. He actually says in his word, it's detestable, and it's the equivalent of hypocrisy. I probably have the scripture in here somewhere in this list. But don't give because you can get something from it. Give because he calls us to give. Give because he calls us to be a people of generosity. Somebody say amen. Amen. If you are too lazy to plant seed, it's too bad when you have no harvest on which to feed. Guys, planting seed is it's beyond a biblical principle. It's literally the way God designed our world to work. It's a kingdom principle. It's a natural principle that when you sow seed, you will reap a harvest. It's called seed time and harvest. God designed our world to live and to function and to operate in this concept of seed time and harvest. And when you sow seed, there is a harvest waiting for you. Somebody needs to hear that today. That when you sow seed, there's a harvest waiting for you. And so I want to encourage you and challenge you. There, we teach first fruits in this house. We're teaching it on October the 15th. Apostle Clay will be in. And we'll also, on that same day, be doing a harvest family day, where we'll do a potluck. Everyone brings something to the table. And so that's coming up in 3-4 weeks from now. And we're going to be teaching on first fruits. I find it really significant. It's like the harvest day was actually supposed to be on a different day than first fruits. But as leaders, we kind of talked about it. We're like, let's combine them. And I think it's really significant that we're combining first fruits with a harvest family day. That's also a potluck where you bring something to the table. I mean, how spiritually significant are all of those things? When you bring something to the table, God sees that. You know, something I tell my worship leaders all the time, you can lift up a song to the Lord and it sound terrible, and he doesn't even hear your voice. He hears your heart. You can lift up a song to the Lord and it can sound amazing, and guess what? God didn't even hear it. Because he's listening to the posture of your heart. So as worship leaders, we get so insecure about how it sounds. And I tell worship leaders, it doesn't matter how it sounds. God didn't even hear you. You tried so hard to make it sound good. And God didn't even hear your voice because he's listening to the faith that's in your heart. He's listening to the sound of surrender that's upon your heart. That's what God's listening to. And so the widow's mite, just a small piece of like a penny or whatever it is, a fraction of a penny, God saw the faith and was honored by the widow's mite. And then the Pharisees would throw a whole bunch into the bowl, and God didn't see any of it. It didn't matter how much it was. Why? Because God doesn't see the amount. He sees your heart. God's not listening to the sound on your voice or the recitation of the scripture on your lips. He's listening to the sound of surrender on your heart. And God's looking for a people who will worship him in spirit and in truth, laid down lovers of Jesus who are willing to just put everything on the line. If we don't like the tithe or the 10% rule, then let's go with the new covenant rule that says everyone gave everything so that everyone could be blessed and have everyone's needs met, right? Are you with me? But the tithe blesses us. First fruits blesses us, and we'll teach on it in the coming weeks here. But your tithe is your first 10%, not just 10%, but your first 10%. So when you get a paycheck, when you get income, when you get anything, I'm telling you guys, if someone hands me a $100 bill, I put it right into the bank, and then I watch that with my budget, and I pull 10 bucks out of it. Every single time someone gives to me, it's either that or I turn around and hand that $100 to somebody else and sow it as seed into somebody else's life. You see what I'm saying? Everything that comes into you, that comes by way of finances or harvest or plenty, the first 10% that you take off of that belongs to the Lord. That's the principle of tithe, and we believe that. And we've operated in prosperity and seeing the work of God in our lives all across this congregation and this house. And so anything above 10% is first fruits, and we'll talk about first fruits in a couple weeks. But let's ask the Lord this morning. Let's ask the Lord to take us to new levels of generosity. And ask the Lord, let's recommit to the Lord what comes in that we would give, that we would be generous to those around us. And not be greedy. Don't be a hoarder. God, help us. We repent, Lord. Lord, we repent for keeping things that we should have given away. Lord, we repent for having a mindset of stinginess. Lord, we repent, God, as we open our hearts this morning, God, as we opened our eyes, we said, Lord, open our eyes, open our hearts. Here you are with your word. Here you are with your truth. Here you are with your spirit reminding us that it is better to give than it is to receive. That if we're going to be like God, if we're going to be like Christ, then it's better for us to be benevolent and generous with our income. Lord, I say over me and my house that we will serve the Lord with generosity. That we will serve the Lord in worship and we will serve the Lord in honor. I want to take us back to the first three points I made, that significant breakthroughs will come into your life with three significant priorities: worship, honor, and generosity. I see over you, over this people, a declaration over your family that looks like worshipfulness, that looks like honoring, and that looks like generosity. And God is going to open up doors that you never thought could open or that you've been waiting to open because of your generosity. And you can't have generosity without honor. That's true too. And you can't have any of those truly without worship. And so God, raise up a people in this place who are worshipers, who worship in spirit and in truth, who honor leadership and honor one another, that outdo one another with honor and are a generous, generous people. Lord, make us a generous people in this place. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't walk away today without having transformed or conformed more to the likeness of Jesus through generosity. And I pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, so right now I want to take up tithe for shareholders here in the house. If you're not a shareholder, if you haven't been committed to this house and the vision of this house, this is not for you. But this is really for shareholders, that we would step up and that we would give. Maybe for you it's on a more regular basis. You know, maybe it's not more than 10%, or maybe God's encouraging you to give more, whatever that might be. But if we could get some ushers up here with the baskets, and then we could pass the baskets, I want to do that and just bless your giving. Lord, I thank you for every shareholder in this place, for everyone who's invested in the vision, who is ready to say yes when there's a need that arises. And God, I pray that as needs arise within the house here and within our communities, that you would meet them through one another here and the benevolence and the generosity of shareholders that are invested in the vision. Lord, we pray for every seed sown, every tithe given, every first fruits offered. We pray that the sacrifice is heard upon your ears, Lord. We pray that they will be blessed and abundance will come to them. Opportunities will come to them. Open doors will come to them. Lord, open doors that no man can shut and shut doors that no man can open, Lord. We declare that in Isaiah 22:22, blessing over their giving in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, bring a blessing upon them in the field. Bring a blessing upon them in the city. Lord, I pray for their harvest, for the things that they've set their hands to, Lord, that you would begin to multiply it and that you would begin to show them how you're at work in supernatural ways. They've put their hand to the plow in the natural and they've honored you with their giving, and now you're coming with the supernatural and you're multiplying it. And so we say that and declare that over our lives, Lord. We declare it over our families, that as parents have invested in their children, God, that you would multiply the return. I just see that over you, Deanna, that as you have invested in your children and you have put your hand to the plow for your children, that God sees that and he sees your faith that's released and he sees your offering and he hears it and it's loud and clear and he goes, I hear this offering. I can hear the sound of surrender and offering and sacrifice that's on your heart, and the Lord's going to bring an abundance in your life, and it's going to be quickly. I hear the Lord saying he's going to open the door and he's going to bring you favor, and just look out for it. It might not look the way that you think it's going to look, but God's going to open a door. I speak that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Who's